We're going to jump into the Word of God. And again, Miss Amy, I appreciate that song. I believe it's just gotten us in the spirit today to be able to jump into Psalm chapter number 26. Would you open up there? Psalm chapter number 26. If you're visiting with us today, we've been in a series, A Journey in the Psalms. A Journey in the Psalms. And last week, we really laid a foundation for Psalm chapter number 26, looking at verses number 1 and 2. That is where we're going to find ourselves once again today. So would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Psalm chapter and number 26. And again, if your health allows you to, would you please stand out of respect for the Word of God today. Psalm chapter 26. Would you look with me as we read verses number 1 and verses number 2 once again to start out today. Psalm 26, verse number 1. Would you please follow along as I read? The Bible says this. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. This morning I'd like to once again look at this passage of Scripture and preach a message in the time allotted today that we have in the Word, a deep relationship. A deep relationship. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, there is no name like your name. Father, I ask, Lord, as we approach this message today, that we would put you first. Savior, that we'd be thinking about you. Father, there's a lot on our minds, even right now, as we've come in and watching the snowflakes fall, and at times we can even sit here wondering what's going on outside and how slick the roads will be or what we've got planned for this afternoon or this evening or many schools are out tomorrow, what we've got going on tomorrow. But God, help us just to take a deep breath in you. Help us just to pause for a moment. And as we open up the Word of God, that we just see you in it. Father, speak to my heart today. Lord, may it be our prayer, Savior, give me something. Change me, encourage me. Lift me up, God. Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd convict us today from the Word of God. Lord, I pray this so often, I mean it today. May we never be afraid of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. May the Word of God pierce our hearts today. Savior, if there be one here, maybe they've attended church for a long time. Or Father, maybe this is the first time in many years, the first time ever they've walked in a church door. And they do not know you as their personal Savior. Father, I ask in this simple prayer today that today would be the day of salvation. That, Father, they would see that there is a Savior that loves them and died for them. Father, that we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That we have a God that will never leave us nor forsake us. That we have a salvation that once saved, always saved. We don't lose it and hope and pray, maybe our good works will get us to heaven. No, Savior, we know that we're saved. And Father, if there's one here, man, woman, boy, girl, child, an older adult, they don't know you. They think they do, but they're not just 100% sure that today would be the day of salvation. Thank you, Father, for the spirit that we already feel in here. Lord, give us just liberty today to preach and to teach those things that you'd have me to teach and preach. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Once again, as we look at our series here, A Journey in the Psalms, we can see this psalmist begins to pour his heart out. David wrote this psalm, and again, we don't know exactly when the psalm was written, but it surely reflects a time of national crisis when people are struggling with the judgments of God. We see the psalmist's heart right away when we looked at last week David's appeal. It was his appeal for judgment. Look with me at verse number 1 here. The Bible says this, judge me. You see, David understood that God was the ultimate judge. You and I, once again, as we come in here, ought to take on that type of spirit that you and I are not living for the preference of someone else. You and I ought not to be living for the standard of someone else. You and I are not living to make it through a religious ceremony or, well, I hope this is good enough, or, well, if so-and-so sees me, I hope that this, listen, understand this. When you and I begin to live a life that is lived by this Bible and this Bible alone, understanding that this truly is our source of faith, that this is our source of leadership, that this is our source for living our life, when you and I live like David saying, judge me, not world, judge me, not Facebook, not Instagram, not my colleagues, not my coworkers. When we understand that what David is saying here, judge me, O Lord, when we live our life by that type of standard, you and I are going to live a much happier and simpler life. You say, Pastor, why do you say that? It's because you and I, if we've lived any time at all, you and I comprehend that you cannot, are you ready for this? You cannot please everyone. You just can't do it. There's no way. I don't care how good you are, how wonderful you are, how hard you try. You and I have realized, even in the last 9 months, you just cannot please everyone. So instead of worrying about it, maybe we just ought to get back to pleasing our Abba Father. David says this, judge me. It was not only his appeal, but we saw his desire. He said this, I have walked, in verse number one, in mine integrity. David truly desired to walk as a man that was in love with God, but his integrity was intact. You and I living today ought to once again take on that type of principle, take on that type of living, that this surrounding area, Marion County, Indianapolis, Avon, this surrounding county, our employees, our bosses ought to see integrity in you and I. Not only do we see his integrity, we see David's trust. Not in self, but in the Lord. Look at verse number one. Now, I'm going to move just a little bit quicker through this because we're going to get to the main bulk of the message here in just a moment. But he said this, I have trusted also in the, look at the wording here, the Lord. What a lesson to be learned. What an introduction to this whole chapter. And David is saying, judge me, but where is his trust? His trust is in the Lord. And throughout this series, A Journey in the Psalms, over and over and over again, we're going to see and we're going to ask that question in our own lives. Where is our trust? Is our trust in a doctor? Is our trust in a professor? And is our trust in religion? Is our trust in this individual? Is our trust in a president? Is our trust in politics? Is our trust in this world? Is our trust in military? Understand this. If you and I are going to make it through 2021 in a way that is sensible, in a way that brings some enthusiasm or some happiness, you and I have to put our trust in the Word of God, in our Savior. Why? Because worrying is not going to get us anywhere. We can sit on the news at night. We can play whatever channel you like to play, whether it's CBS or CNN or Fox News or whatever your TV channel is. We can sit there and we can watch. And I'm just telling you, we can watch it for 2 hours and we can lay in bed. We can go to bed at night and we can worry. Oh, we're in all the world and all this and all the virus. And oh, we can just worry ourselves into oblivion. And friend, I'm just asking you, what good is that going to do? It's not that David wrote this when he's clicking his heels and woohoo, things are wonderful. No, it's a national crisis going on. I'm just being honest. We got a little bit of a national crisis going on in the United States of America. And it's not just the coronavirus. It's not just who's going to be our president or vice president. I'm just telling you this, friend. You and I have a national crisis, and it's a spiritual crisis. It's been a little while since we've seen revival in our land. It's been a little while since we've seen revival in our teens' hearts. It's been a little while since we've seen moms and dads staying together. And there are those who are celebrating 51 years today in anniversary. We praise the Lord for that. Having family, 51 years. What an amazing. I'm just telling you, friends, it's been a little while since we've seen that. We got a national crisis. Who is our trust going to be in? It must be in the Lord. But we see David's confidence. He says this in verse number one. Look at it with me. Therefore, I shall not slide. He's not being tossed to and fro. No, he realizes that you and I are more than conquerors. From this psalm, I believe that David knew the importance of self-examination. Too many times, you and I forget what manner of man we are.
It was James chapter 1 and verse number 25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not forgetful here, but doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." In verse number 1, we find this importance of reflection. David says, "I have walked." It is a looking back. It is looking at his heart. It is looking at his life that he has lived. He is examining spiritually where he has been. And you and I must learn from yesteryear. We must look back. I know many of us don't like to look at 2020 and I just hate that year, and it wasn't a good year, and it was this, and that, it was school, and missed graduations, and birthdays. We haven't been able to see loved ones, and we don't like to look back. But at times what David is teaching us here is we have to look back. In order to look back, or for us to look back, it helps us to make a plan for the future. It helps us to rely on, hey, God got us through tough times, and boy, I can grow here, I should have done this, or I need to change this in my life. There is a reflection that comes, but also there is an importance of resolve. Look at with me in verse number 11 here in our passage of Scripture. And again, I know I'm moving fast for those of you who are visiting with us, but we're going to get to the main bulk here in just a moment. But look at verse number 11. "But as for me, I," look at the wording here, how it changes, "will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me." Not only does he say, "I have walked," but David changes the wording here and says, "I will walk." You and I must have a desire, a plan to grow in Him. Every mom sitting in here this morning, may you ought to have a plan of where you want to be in your walk with God. And every dad sitting in here today ought to be planning out this next week, not just taking tomorrow off of school or work, but planning, how am I going to grow in Him? How is my relationship going to get deeper with Him? How am I going to be a better Christian with those I am around this week? There is the importance of resolve, this plan to grow. In these verses, we see there is an examination, there is a proving, and there is a trying. All of these come from these first two verses. This word examine is looking at, look, not examining everybody else, examine me. No, wait a minute. No, I'm moving fast. Let's just pause here. Don't tune out for just a moment. So we start thinking about the thing. It's examination. It's not me asking you, examine me. Let's be honest, we're all gonna look at the outward appearance. We're gonna look at, well, he's here today, and he's this, and it's that, and it's that. We can all examine each other. But what about asking God to examine us? But George, I don't know you. You don't know me. We see each other here today. Pastor DeFoe, we know each other, but we don't really know each other. You don't know my heart, and I don't know your heart. You see, at times, Pastor Dan, we can look at the outward appearance. We could do an examination, and let's just get down to nitty gritty just for one moment here. You ready for this? We love examining other people's lives. No, yeah, oh yeah, we do. It's the, you just look at me. Oh, Pastor, see, no, don't you judge me. We do. Well, we've been here at church, and so. I mean, this is like the fourth Sunday in a row they haven't been at church. Examine everybody else. Well, I wish they were out. They really need to get, their marriage really needs this. You know what they need? I wish they were here to hear their message, because if you've seen their kids running around the hall, I'm just saying, we love talking about everybody else, examine. But this word here, examine, is not for everybody else to examine everybody else. Examine me, O Lord. I love the wording here. It says, prove. Prove through divine testing. God will put us through tests. But through those tests, we realize that He still sits on the throne. He's still helping us. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. This word here, try. Try, the psalmist uses, to refine. The book of Job puts it this way, "But He knoweth the way that I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." You see, the more that you and I begin to ask our Savior to examine us, now watch very carefully as this just molds along, and it's going to all come together right here. The more that you and I ask the Lord to examine us, to prove us, to help us, to try us, then you and I are drawing closer to Him. That means this, we are going to be more like Him. We're going to take on His attributes and His attitude. And that means this, we will begin to know Him on a deeper level. And if you and I walked in here today, and if we get anything, it ought to be this, that as we walk out all of these exit doors today and the best way that we can and socially distance and mask and all these things, as we walk out, our number one thought or our concentration ought to be this: do I know my Savior more walking out of these doors than when I walked in? Because if you and I are careful, what we begin to concentrate on is this and this worry, and I can't believe this, and can you even imagine that way? This, and they did this, and they got, and they haven't talked to me, they sat over there, and they did, and boy, the sidewalks, they could have been a little bit better, and I had to park way out there. And what we do is we concentrate on everything else, and we've missed that you and I are here not for the judgment of each other, not for the worries or concerns of yesterday or tomorrow, but you and I here, ladies and gentlemen, we are here to know our Savior more. We want to draw and be more like Him. If you agree with that, say amen this morning. It ought to be our thought. Why'd we come to Sunday school class today? Well, if I don't go to Sunday school class, you know, so-and-so is going to call me and they're going to wonder where I'm at. So it's just easier to put on a tie and come to church. Well, then we've missed it. Why'd we sing the songs Pastor Chris had for us today? Well, we had to. It's the only thing up there on the board. No. We're to draw closer to Him. That song, Jesus. I mean, that Amy sang. I mean, that ought to dig in deep to us. That group that sang up here earlier, all those men and women, that song got that's a start of worship. It's not looking, they're not up here like, oh yes, look at me and I can sing bass and tenor and oh, it's a concert. And I mean, we're not standing up applying, whoosh, sing it again, that was awesome. They're not touring the country. You know what they're up here doing? They're up here singing for the honor and glory of praise of the one who deserves to be praised. I think at times we miss it. We even get to a psalm like this, and I mean, this is just kind of a laying a foundation introduction, but we miss what this relationship is all about. You see, when we get to know Him, if you're taking notes this morning, here's what I would like for you to do. I want you to write this down. Number one, we will begin to know His love. We'll begin to know His love. Look at verse number 3 here of Psalm 26. If you have a Bible open, I want you to look at this, maybe even underline it. Watch what it says. It says, "For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes." Did you catch that? When there's an examination, when there's a judge, when there's a proving, when there's a trying, we get to know Him more. And what do we get to know? Well, we get to know His love. It says, "For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes." You say, "Pastor Shepherd, how much does He love us?" Well, the Bible puts it this way: "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I don't know if you've ever gone through a season of your life where you've been down, or you've been discouraged, or perhaps even depressed. Maybe even sometimes, especially through this of the coronavirus, there's been those that have been in nursing homes and assisted living, and they've been by themselves. So we talk about how many lives that the coronavirus has taken, but nobody's talking about the amount of suicides that is now up 400%, some are saying, in the United States. Why? Because of loneliness, and people get to this place of loneliness, and it brings on discouragement, and after they have discouragement, it leads them into depression. And even amongst Christians, we have those who are deeply depressed, and there are those that begin to think, I just be honest, Pastor, I don't know if anybody loves me. I just came through, you know, less than a month ago, the Christmas season. Everybody's singing Joy to the World and Silent Night, and I'm alone, and I just feel like at times I go to bed and nobody loves me, and nobody cares about me, and nobody even knows that I'm here. Friend, I'm just here to tell you, if you and I have those type of thoughts and wouldn't rely on the psychiatrist or the pill from the doctor, but sometimes maybe just get back to the Bible, we're going to read verses like this. The psalmist left us and said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler. He shall cover me in His feathers, and under His wings kings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. I'm here to tell you, friend, maybe you do feel like nobody loves you. Maybe you do feel like at times you've just, nobody's been there. Friend, I'm here to tell you, if you have Jesus Christ living in your life, if you know Him today, there has not been a day that He has not been there with you. There has not been a moment past that He has not been up there, not waiting for you to pull yourself up out of the mug, not waiting for you to get out of your sin, not sitting up here with this proud look like, good grief, I never fell that far. I never was involved in that. No, there is an Abba Father in heaven that's looking down at you and I, and He's not got this pious look on His face. No, friend, He's there, and He's waiting, and He's lifting you up. And even at times when you felt alone, He is there, and He's carrying you, and He's making sure you're going to get through. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Friend, I'm here to tell you today, when you have a walk with Him, you get to know the love that He gives. And that love that He gives is like no other love that you and I have ever experienced on this earth. In fact, He said this. He said, I love you so much, I'm going to give my son for you. Thank you, Lord. You ever been given a gift? Yeah, I gave my kids a lot of gifts at Christmas. Yeah, I get it. We gave our kids gifts. Why do we give them gifts? Because we have to. It's our birthday. It's Christmas. No, because we love them. And sometimes we give nice gifts, or you've been given a nice gift before. It's been wonderful. But there is no gift that has ever been given that is greater than the gift of Jesus Christ dying on an old rugged cross. Friend, they didn't take His life. He gave it. And He gave it for you and for me. Can I ask you, do you know Him? No, do you know Him? Well, Pastor, be honest with you, I think I do, I might, but you just don't know where I've been or what I've done. You know what, friend? You're exactly right. Shocking, right? I am? Yep, you're right. I don't know where you've been. I don't know the scars that you have. I don't know the thought life that you have and may never will. I am not a priest. You don't come to me to confess. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. And friend, may I tell you today, I don't know your family tree. I don't know where you've been. I don't know the scars that you have in your life. I don't know the sins that you have committed. I don't know the hurt that you have given to someone else. I don't know the abuses that you have been through. But friend, may I tell you this? I know a Savior that does. And He's not sitting up there judging. No, friend. His blood covered it all. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter. Matter who you've been around, it doesn't matter what kind of life you've lived. I'm here to tell you, friend, there is a God in heaven that loves you, and He gave His life for you. And friend, it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter what you've been involved in. No, the Bible says, for the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah, Pastor, I don't know if I believe that. Listen, friend, don't take my word for it. The Bible says in Romans, but God commendeth His love toward us in that, yeah, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, I'm hoping I'm good now, and I kind of vote right, and I got a good attitude. I've been to church now just about every Sunday this year, and that's about three, so I'm doing pretty good. Friend, I'm just here to tell you, the Bible says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says this, for whosoever, you know what that word whosoever means? Anybody. Don't you love that? Don't you love the word whosoever? Everybody? Anybody? You hear it lately. Well, everybody's going to get stimulus checks. And some of you are like, I'm still waiting on my stimulus check. Where is it? How come? Well, everybody's going to get. Well, this extends across the board. Let me just tell you, friend, God was not a politician. When he said whosoever, he meant it, friend. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're saved today, say amen. Amen. Friend, that means this. You have Jesus Christ living inside of you. You know the love that he bestowed to you and I. But friend, if you're sitting here today and you don't know his love, today is the day you ought to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. How many be excited if somebody came and got saved today? Say amen. I think at times we think, you know, people come to church and, oh, it'd be so weird, you know, if I stepped down and came down the aisle and, you know, I meet with Pastor Dan and Miss Tammy and it would just be awkward and weird. And it would, look, I mean, if you've met me at all, I'm the type of person, there is no awkward situation. I'm just going to be honest with you. Cross Point Baptist Church, we will never become a place where it's awkward for somebody to walk the aisle and get saved. Amen. Yeah, but you understand, I mean, I don't have a tie on this morning. The people on my aisle, my goodness, I don't look like them. We were singing hymns this morning. I mean, I thought it was called Hymns. I didn't even know it was called Hymns. You know, I look up here, and some of you will get that later. And I look at it, and I didn't even know the song we were singing. And I just don't know if this is a place for me. You know what? You came to the right place this morning. No, you're welcome here. Yeah, you come during the invitation. You don't know God. You step right on out. Yeah, but what if somebody's peeking? Well, shame on them. They'll get it later. No, I'm just saying. Maybe they are. Maybe they will. But is that what we're going to base eternity off of? Somebody peeking? Nah, friend. You and I get to spend an eternity together. But there might be somebody in here that they're not. Friend, can I just tell you today? Maybe you have struggled. Yep, maybe coronavirus has been rough on you and your family. Maybe you're sitting beside a husband. Maybe you're sitting beside a wife. Things aren't going well right now. You're not feeling that love. Maybe you're a teenager. You're sitting here and you have questions. My parents really love me, or am I just living up to some expectation? Maybe you're sitting here today and you've gone through, and this has been a tough year. Understand. I'm telling you, friend, God loves you. God loves me. Every day in the life of Pastor Shepherd is not get up and it's another day and oh, the birds are singing and oh, you know, especially in Indiana, you walk outside and it's snowing. It's like, look, there's tough days, but I'm here to tell you, it's not a day that I wake up that I ever question whether or not Jesus Christ loves me. No, he said he did. I believe this book. It's my final authority. Friend, I'm here to tell you, I can smile every day. No matter what's going on around me, we get to know his love. Oh, what a God. What a Savior. Would you write this down? Number two this morning. Number two, we get to know his truth. The Bible says this. Look at with me. Verse number three. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy, look at that last word there, truth. What is truth? Aren't we all asking that question nowadays? I feel like over and over, all asking the question. What is truth? What is truth? What is truth? I mean, who's telling the truth? Are they telling the truth? My goodness, if you live on Facebook, we have learned to question everything. Because, boy, this doctor said this. Well, they said this. Well, this doesn't work. Well, this works. You got to take this. You got to take this. I'm telling you, for the first 2 months, this is the truth. Carrie can bag me up on this. For the first 2 months of coronavirus, we read so much. I'm telling you, our little medicine cabinet went to like one little section to like eight sections, man. Every essential oil we were buying, every herb we were buying, they said take this. We were ordering it from Australia, baby. We were stocking up on everything. And finally, you start reading, like, what? I mean, what is truth? Everybody, finally, one day, if he had one question, here's what he asked Jesus, what is truth? John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. Do we know the word of God today? You know, so many churches are fallen, and so many churches are compromising, and so many churches have become just another gathering, another club, another clique, another family meeting, and just kind of come together and let's just get through. And what's the Bible say? I'm not real sure, but let's just get through. Well, why are churches not having, excuse me, friend, why are churches not having a real effect on the world anymore? Why is it that the world is affecting the church more than the church is affecting the world? I'll tell you why. Because we have left our biblical foundation in the church house. We no longer stand on what thus saith the Lord. We stand on what's popular, what's cool, what's groovy, what's going to bring in the most people, and what's going to entertain us. I'm just telling you, friend, we've got to get back to truth. Why? Because the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Hosea put it this way: my people are destroyed, not because of entertainment, not because of the day and age, not from other armies. No, the Bible says my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Friend, if there was ever a day when we need to get off Facebook for a little while and get our face in the book, that day is today. If there was ever a day and age we need to put sports aside for a little bit and come in and actually root and get excited about what we're singing in church and the preaching that we're hearing, friend, if there was ever a day when we ought to be affecting this culture more than the culture affecting us, that day is today. And the more that we ask God, examine me, the more that we ask God to prove me, to try me, we're going to get to know Him. And when we get to know His love, when we're truly saved, watch this, we will know His truth. Amen. Friend, that's what we ought to know. Look, let's be honest. That this today, this pastor, this preacher standing up here, this is not the Thomas Shepherd show. This is not what I think, what I feel. You know, I'm a millennial, I'm this, and here's what you need to do, and this will make you happy, and this will make your marriage great, and this will, no. I read a book that we're going through today. You know what we have? We have the book. We have the Bible. I don't know, it's just something about this book that I love it. Why do we love this book? I mean, Pastor, it's written so long ago. I mean, I love it because it's truth. Amen. It's a foundation. And when you follow this, the side effects are really good. They help us and put a smile on our face, and they draw us closer to our spouse. Wow, yes. And it helps us bring up kids, not as little robots marching around. They're a good little Johnny, good little Susie, because no, it helps us bring up kids that have a real relationship with Jesus Christ and love Him and understand His love and His truth. Watch now very carefully. When you and I get to know Him, we know His love, we know His truth. But number three, would you write this down? We know His separation. Look at verse number 4 with me in the Word of God. Look what it says, verse number 4. It says, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. Verse number 5. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. Man, there's some strong, strong words here. And I will not sit with the wicked. Verse number 6. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So I encompass thine altar, O Lord. Skip down to verse number 8. It says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and a place where thine honor dwelleth. Verse number 9. Gather not my souls with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and in their right hand is full of bribes. God wants there to be separation. That means this, friend. With the more that you and I get to know Him, there ought to be a difference in the life of a Christian and the life of someone who is lost. Now, if you agree with that, say amen. Okay, now, hold on. You see, oftentimes we read verses like this, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and we take it and we really stretch it. We'll take it and we use it for everything that fits, are you ready for this? Our agenda. Now listen, we are Bible believers here today. We are Baptistic in doctrine. We believe the Word of God. It's our final authority. But I'm just here to tell you, we have to, as Bible believers, rightly divide the Word of truth. There, even in this psalm, is a separation. There is a hate for wickedness, and there is a love for the things that are of God. There's a love for a meeting together. There is a love for the habitation of God. There is a hate and there is a love. Watch very carefully now. There is a separation. Jesus, when on earth, put it this way. He said, ye, talking about the saved, are the salt of the earth. But if ye have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Watch what it says here. Let your light so shine before men that they may see, look what the word here is, your good works. Uh-oh. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, oftentimes as Christians, everybody, I want you to tune in. Don't. If you fall asleep right here, you're going to take out of context what the pastor's saying. I want you to get this. Separation is not necessarily, okay, we hate this and we love this, but what we're going to concentrate on, since there's a separation, we're just going to concentrate on what we hate. But we're good at it, aren't we? You see, the lost world knows what we stand against. But do they know what we stand for? See, the lost world knows what you and I can't say. We're not for this living. We're for husband and wife, one man, woman. We're for this. We're against this. We hate abortion. We hate this. We hate. Look, is all these things good? Absolutely. Do we despise them? Yes. Is it biblical? Without a doubt. But I'm here to tell you, if you and I live in this imbalance of only showing the world what we despise or don't like, because we're separate, praise God, and we want to be over here, and this is who we are. Boy, I'm telling you, we're fundamentals. We're never going to change. I'm here to tell you, is that good and great? Yes, absolutely. But the Bible says a false balance is an abomination to who? God. We have to have a balance that, should there be separation? Without a doubt. But the world also needs to see that you and I have joy, and you and I have peace, and you and I have a God that loves us, and you and I have this relationship with our husband and wife. Why? Because we follow the word of God. Although the world has trouble, and although the world's going through a hard time, you and I are not over here in our little blogs and typing away what we think and how we feel. No, we're showing the world what our God has done for us. Visitor walks in the door. Maybe they don't look like us, or dress like us, or act like us. Maybe they got scars on their body. Maybe they're not dressed like preacher today. And I just happen to think that it's our culture. It's a church culture, what we wear. It's not a judgment. It's a this. And I don't think I'm not going to stand before God one day for if I didn't have on this blue coat or this white shirt today. That's what I'm going to stand before God for. I said, there's going to be people that walk in that back door, and they're not used to a church culture type of dress. So here's what we need to do, church. Yeah. Give them the evil eye. Let them know that's my pew.
Yeah.
Because, buddy, you came in that door, we're going to let you know we're separate, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, premillennial Baptist. Okay, I'm getting carried away. But nonetheless, sometimes we can have that type of thought. When really that lost person walking in is very uncomfortable. You know what they need? Tommy, come here for just a second. You know what they need? They don't need, for those of you watching live stream, this is my son, so we don't technically have to be social distance. So what they don't need is, oh yeah, look at him. There's an American flag little mask around. He's not even wearing it correctly. He's not covering both nostrils, for goodness sake. And we go on. He didn't wear a tie today. I picked out a tie for you. Anyways, he didn't wear a tie today. And you know what they need?
Hey, how are you? My name's Pastor Shepherd. It's good to have you here today. We appreciate you being here when socially distanced is. We appreciate you being here. And we're so glad. Look, I sit right up on the second row. Second row. Yeah, look, I know it's a little bit awkward, but look, if we get down the right now, nobody's going to know. And let's get down here. Come on down. I want you to meet you. Hey, Pastor, follow here. This is Thomas Shepherd. He's visiting Cross Point Baptist Church today. Doesn't he look sharp today? Man, I'm telling you, he's so good. And over here, but don't you love his teal shirt? Isn't that amazing? It's bright. You can see from Google Earth, but it's a beautiful shirt. And look, I'm just killing you. It's making him feel welcome. Why? Are we separate? Yes. But somebody needs to see the love we have. Amen. Somebody needs to see it. Look, I get it. It's tough right now. We got masks on. Somebody ought to smile. Yeah. Our employees ought to see us. Our employers ought to see us. It's something different. Is it separation? Yes. Do we despise the things that go against the book? Yes. Do we hate these things that are wrong and these things are murderous? And yes, we despise it. But I'm telling you, the world just not ought to see us separated. Here I am, but boy, I'm better than everybody else because I don't, and I don't, and I don't, and I don't. No, no. What they need to see, friend, is somebody that's separate. And showing people the love of God, the happiness, the enthusiasm, the encouragement, the grace, the mercy, and the hope that you and I have in our Abba Father. Oh, the separation. I got to hurry here and I'm almost done. We also can know His works. His love, His truth, His separation. But write this down. We can know His works. Look at verse number 7. It says that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. The psalmist said in Psalm 95, verse number 2, let us come before His presence, watch very carefully, with thanksgiving. I'm not going to stop here long because we're going to hit this point over and over and over throughout this series. What I really do love about the Psalms is they talk a lot about being thankful. We love Thanksgiving. It's a great time. It's kind of skipped over now, but we do love a time we could stop and pause. And it's called like pie. We do something here at Cross Point with pies, and we come in, we give thanks, and that's wonderful, and that's great. Praise the Lord. But don't you think we ought to come into His presence every Sunday, every Wednesday, every devotional time, every day with just thank you? You know, it's hard to say thank you without having a smile on your face, isn't it? Thank you. Nobody does that. Like, thank you so much. Hey, I've been praying for it. But I just want to say thank you so much. Nobody says thank you. No. When you and I get to know Him, we get to see His truth, His grace, His mercy, what He does for you and I. It really will open up to what God is doing. In the Shepherd family, 2020 was a trying year and a vexing year. At times, my wife and I would talk, what is God doing? Where were you pulling? Where are you going? What's going on? But we understood who God was. We understand that God is at work. Friend, you and I may not understand the whole election. We may not understand the whole coronavirus. We may not understand what God is doing in this situation. But we do know this. If we know His love and we know His truth and we know His separation, we're going to know this. God is at work. And friend, can I encourage you today? Don't ever feel like you've come to a place where God's not or cannot work in your life. I said it last week, excuse me, I'm just going to say it again. I think at times we put a lot on a younger generation. Well, it's their turn, it's their time, it's this, it's that. No, I think we need to pause for a moment and just say, it doesn't matter, you know, if we're not married or in college or been married for 15 years or 51 years today, whatever the case might be, God, thank you for continuing to work in my life. We're going to know His works. We're going to know who He is. Would you write this down? Number 5, we're going to know His mercy. Look at verse number 11. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth, verse number 12, in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. His mercy. See, I think at times we think we deserve more than we really should. Did you know that Thomas Shepherd does not deserve to go to heaven? Now, before you jump on this bandwagon, I knew it. Yeah, you don't deserve to go to heaven. You see, it's of His mercies that you and I are not consumed. They're new every morning, every day. What mercy He gives us. Do you know, friend, the more we take on His mercy, the more it'll lead to verse number 12, where we just want to praise Him, worship Him, glorify Him, magnify Him. Stop talking about this guy, and it's about me and my world and what I want. And no. It becomes all about who He is. A deeper relationship.